Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Scarlett.
And I'm Mim.
And we are Style Over Substance, the podcast.
And this week, in kind of the aftermath of the Met Gala, that was celebrating Karl Lagerfeld's kind of career and his success and, you know, like decades and decades of work, we thought it'd be a good topic to really address the elephant in the room. And it's not in just regards to Karl Lagerfeld, but there are a number of other brands that are shrouded in controversy, you know, allegations of sexism, racism, misogyny, like fat phobia, like the works, and they're brands that are still so successful, so prevalent, and we continue to celebrate them. And like recently, because of the Met, the question of why do we choose to ignore these sorts of behaviors and let them slide when it comes to some designers, some brands. And yet we claim that the fashion industry is so like progressive. So yeah, overall, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a really weird one when you think about it, of like choosing to support or condone certain behavior. But like you said, it's a multi-million dollar industry.
Yep.
It is like, it is so much bigger than that, but also, yeah, it's just like, if I owned something from one of these brands and I paid my hard earned cash for it, you best believe I'm still going to have to want to wear it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I'm not wealthy enough to discard that item.
For sure. I think there's a lot of things we'll cover in this topic, is like how we feel about these particular brands personally. Do we think that the fashion industry will ever kind of, will we collectively part ways with these brands?
Yeah.
And then it's the, I think, the onus on the consumer. Are we then obliged to get rid of what we own by these brands? And should celebrities do the same? So, yeah. I think first maybe we should go through some of, we'll start with Karl Lagerfeld because of recent events, like what he's been so controversial for.
So don't mind me looking down. I am referencing quotes so I don't misquote some of these wonderful things.
Because we research as journalists.
We do research. So Karl Lagerfeld in general is kind of known to be quite outspoken, strong opinions, quite fat phobic, to say the least. So in terms of his fat phobia, I didn't even see these earlier. He even described supermodel Heidi Klum as being simply too heavy.
Heidi Klum?
She has too big a bust.
Oh.
Haters gonna hate on some boobies, but he called Adele fat. She said she's a little too fat, but she has a beautiful face and a divine voice, which is like just unnecessary. He was quite outspoken about supermodels having sexual allegations, and said a really horrific line of, if you don't want your pants pulled about, don't become a model.
Yeah. We briefly spoke about this before, and like, first off, Heidi Klum, not fat, not big busted. And I think his comments go to show how disconnected he is from normal bodies. He clearly comes from a different era a different era of fashion, and where the expectations of what your body needed to be like in order to be presentable and model-esque is different to how we view them today. But also, I think there's this belief that you need to look like a child or be built like a child in order to qualify as being a model. Like, why is it a crime, or why is it not elegant or not fashionable or not whatever to have a slightly bigger bust? And Heidi Klum is not like massive.
No, she's like, for her frame, she'll have a big bust size, but that represents other people who have boobs.
I know.
And that's like, I don't know. I think he's just, he seems to be the kind of person who wants to sit in the original thing, is that we send stick insects down the runway. Mm. That is how it is. The clothes do all the talking. The body does none.
Yeah.
And he's kind of got this archaic thing, even with like, oh, you know, that's just the way it's done. If that models, if models were complaining about maybe sexual misconduct, he sort of is like a tight upper lip kind of guy, where he sort of seems to be like, well, what did you expect?
Yeah.
Which is, of course, not the right response.
Yeah, with the second quote that you mentioned about how he says he didn't believe a word of these sexual allegations that models had made towards, I think it was a photographer or another designer or such, but that if they didn't feel comfortable with having their like knickers tugged at, then they should find another profession. And it's like, well, if you really think about that, he's like contradicting himself. Does he believe them or not? Does he believe that it happened or it didn't? Or does he believe that it did happen and that it wasn't that bad and that they shouldn't complain about it? And to reduce, obviously none of us were there with these models, but to reduce someone's allegation of sexual misconduct in the workplace and to simplify it by saying, oh, it was just her knickers or her pants were being tugged at, is trying to be reductive. Like, you're going out of your way to like say that that's all it was, when we don't know, he doesn't know, he wasn't there.
Yeah, but also I think it's sort of saying it doesn't count in your profession.
Yes.
So that it would be like a girl who's a porn star or someone who's a pinup model saying that they got like assaulted at work.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you know,
you're asking for
look
it.
At your job.
Yeah.
No, it's like the short skirt, you're asking for it when you're walking home thing. No.
Yeah.
Like, misconduct is misconduct. And I think also, don't speak on something that you aren't present for. Do you know, like, of course we all have these like reactions, right? If I said so-and-so that we went to school with has accused somebody of something, you might make your own judgment of like, well, is that true?
Like,
oh my god. But you'll never know.
You don't know. Exactly. exactly.
To comment on that, and also the bias, obviously, like protecting his friend, which I get, but considering he's in a position where he works with a lot of models, is pretty,
it does send a message to other models, like, listen, if you come into my studio, shut the fuck up. I will do what I want in order to make beautiful clothing or whatever. So you're right, it does send a message to other models that will come into contact with him. And I'm sure they would all feel a bit uncomfortable, just dubious by someone kind of reacting that way.
Yeah, and so Karl Lagerfeld has also expressed that he is a little bit homophobic. He is in support of same-sex marriage, but is less keen on gay couples and their ability to adopt.
And like
which
parents.
Is kind of bizarre.
And he said, wasn't it like he can't imagine one dad going out to work and the other dad being at home with the kids.
Yeah.
Which in itself is an antiquated view of modern family life, because even if it was a man and a woman, like,
that is
9 times out of 10, both of them go to work.
But also, there are such things as stay-at-home fathers.
Yes, there are. Yeah,
I mean, father again, it just seems sort of like he's, it's like he's 100 years out of sync, you know, of like, or hasn't, he's defying anything modern.
Mm.
And he made basically a statement saying when Kim got robbed at gunpoint that he wasn't surprised and she was like lauding her wealth, which may or may not be true, but is it also helpful to the helpful thing to say?
I am not surprised, because I'm sure it happens a lot. People who do flaunt their wealth put themselves at higher risk of being robbed and whatnot. But to come out and say that at a time when someone was held at gunpoint, as you said, it's not helpful, because what you're doing by saying, I'm not surprised it's happened, you're almost saying is like, she kind of deserved it. You are justifying it.
And also, there's one thing to be like, oh, someone presenting that they've got a lot of wealth and money, and so maybe their house or their belongings are a target. There's another, the way that situation unfolded, like you said, of being held at gunpoint, is like a pretty horrific way to be burgled.
Yeah.
But also the surprising thing, right, is he has worked with Kim quite closely. She was telling us all with the Met. But also he has very close relationships with models. You often did see him having like his bestie in Cara Delevingne or like whatever it seemed to be. So him insulting all these people is kind of bizarre, that he seemed to have such good relationships with these models. Or was it maybe also the case that they adored someone on a pinnacle? Like some, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's quite easy to manufacture a relationship with this guy. When really what it's, the overall sentiment that I get from all of these quotes and just having heard things about him over the years, is he didn't really care about anyone else.
Yeah.
He was dedicated to his work. And if something bad happens to you, so be it. You asked for it. What do you expect? It's the industry. You know, shouldn't flaunt your wealth. Shouldn't do this, this, that, and that, the other.
Don't be fat.
Don't be fat. Boobs. Don't, you know, oh my God, look at you, too big. Don't have kids if it doesn't kind of fit the very old 1950s housewife mold of a family unit and how it functions. And you know, that's it. And those are my opinions. That's the view that I get. He doesn't actually care or sympathize, or empathize with people in general.
Yeah.
And I doubt he had any sort of deep, again, I don't know the guy, but
I feel like I've read of his origins, and I think they like were quite tough, where he grew up, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
However, I'm baffled that he has represented quite a few brands. His namesake, Chanel, Loewe,
Fendi,
and those are big names that he is the face of in those moments. How did no one intervene or be like, we need to stop?
I think it was a different time, honestly.
I know, but some of them are as recent as sort of like 2012, 2016.
They are, but he's already been in, like, he was in Chanel for decades. Fendi, decades. Yeah.
If I were him, I'd also probably have the attitude of like, take it or leave it.
You can get away with anything if you were him at that time. He'd already been at these brands for so long. He has been single-handedly applauded as reviving what was an old woman's brand, Chanel.
Yeah.
Make it into a global powerhouse that the young and old alike wanted to buy into, made it incredibly profitable. And so they're not, as you said at the beginning of this episode, it's money. It's business. And that's what it boils down to. If he is pulling in the numbers and the sales that he needs to, it's very difficult for the owner of a brand to say, we need to cut you because it's like, it's risky for us, when really it wasn't. People were still buying into the brand despite what his beliefs are and what he said. So, next one, D&G.
D&G. Now, we will afterwards discuss, I think, how damaging different things are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What you can get away with and what you can't.
But I'm going to say these are quite bad.
Yeah.
So, I've got a little D&G offence timeline. So in 2012, they sent white models down the runway in earrings reminiscent of colonial blackamoor statues, which essentially depict black people as racist caricatures, which is just shocking. Mm. Gabbana in 2013 decides to attend a Disco Africa-themed Halloween party, adding insult to injury. He has a photo with someone in blackface.
Yeah, and the images from that party are pretty bad. It's like there's a lot of blackface going on, and there's a lot of like depictions of, you know, black people being wild savages, and it's like racism in the most
obnoxious kind of way.
It's really weird.
2015, Dolce & Gabbana publicly opposed the idea of gay couples having children.
Mm-hmm. They themselves are gay.
And also, this reminded me kind of Carl. What, like?
Oh, yes, yes,
that
yes.
That he, like, sort of felt the same, that gay couples shouldn't have children. Dolce & Gabbana had a quote saying, I'm not convinced with what I call chemical children, a rented uterus or semen selected from a catalogue. I mean, as gay men, would you not want or applaud the science that affords you the option of becoming a parent?
Yeah. But also, I think it's like, okay, if you don't want kids, then cool. That's fine.
If that's
but
not for you.
To almost as like gay men, I think also, if you are gay, for example, but you are very privileged, very wealthy, then it's kind of easy to shit on those who don't live with the privileges that you do.
Yeah.
And also, the idea of having surrogate mothers is not something exclusive to gay couples.
No.
And it's not like it's just this
IVF
thing that was...
IVF then is surely a chemical baby.
Yeah, I think this extends to that.
Yeah.
And I think for a very long time, those who couldn't have children would either often, like, we had, like, wet nurses, for example. Mm. Okay, they didn't carry these children, but they were in place of the biological mothers. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that the act of, you know, if your wife couldn't have kids, the act of, you know, having a kid with another woman so that you had, you know, a baby or whatever was, it's nothing new.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It really is. 2016, some more racism by calling one of their shoes the slave sandal.
And also, I think we're going to have to put a little picture of these shoes because I don't understand why they felt the need to call them slave sandals, because they literally, they're very colourful. They have like pom-pom tassels on them. And I don't, any slave of any point in history, I don't know if they were wearing, I don't know if they were any sandals.
No.
Because when you told me, I was instantly thinking slave sandals, okay, they're like those gladiator sandals.
Yeah.
Or they're like, just like bare leather.
I thought they had those earrings on the shoes. Like that was what was in my head.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
Because yeah, wow.
They're just trying it.
Like that was the terminology used on the website. That was the name of the shoe.
Yeah.
2017, they sort of did a bit of a controversial campaign because they got some backlash for supporting Melania Trump. So they sort of did like a trolling clapback, basically, with boycott D&G as their
comeback almost.
Yeah.
And I think this is a reminder to us all that, first off, I think they're being obnoxious. They don't give a shit about what we think. You know, for good or bad.
They're being smart.
Yeah.
They think they are.
But I think it's a reminder that not everyone in the fashion industry who designs are liberal or progressive or left-leaning or any of those terms. Like, you can have conservative, and I'm not saying that you can't be conservative, like I'm just saying we're making an assumption that these designers are in line socially with how
with the
we
modern
are.
World. Yeah,
exactly. And they've proven that no, we will dress Melania Trump despite, you know, her family's politics. And we don't care.
Madness. And yeah, and then sort of have like an ignorant response. Yeah. Just kind of like, oh, boycott us then, go on. Like,
it's almost
it's
better
taunting
to,
people.
It would be better to say nothing.
Yeah.
To say, you know what, they reached out to us.
But also,
and
if you want to do it, continue to do it defiantly. You know, with your, like, be classy.
Stay classy, D&G.
Stay classy. In 2018, they commented on an Instagram post, not on Selena's profile, but I think it was of her, a collage of her saying she's so ugly. I just think that they clearly shouldn't really be allowed social media, because there was another instance where Gabbana slid into somebody's DMs with a message saying China ignorant dirty smelling mafia.
Oh, I remember this actually. I remember that someone had like screenshotted their conversation with this other person. That's pretty bad.
That's poor.
Like, and you know what is funny about it is that throughout the fashion industry, we're very aware that Chinese market is the biggest market for these brands. Europeans on a whole do not have the disposable income that a lot of these emerging markets do.
Yeah.
A lot of like wealth has been created in a very short amount of time. And you've got these millionaires, billionaires popping up, and they're really keen to spend their money on European heritage brands and designer brands. And it's like, I don't like D&G, but it's funny how they are keen to bite the hand that feeds them, quite literally.
Yeah, I mean, there's just an underlying tone of racism, which is actually unacceptable.
Yeah.
Like, and not only is it, I think it's one thing to be like Carl, and at least if you're a Chanel, Fendi, whatever, you can be like, look, he's the designer, his views and opinions do not reflect us, the brand.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of be like, he's here for his talent and his talent only for designs and sketches. It's another to be the actual founders of a brand, but also to be putting that, like, it's not like Carl ever had, correct me if I'm wrong, a collection being like, I hate fat people, you know.
From what I remember. Yeah, definitely.
So like, but whereas Dolce & Gabbana, like, adding crazy racism into their like collections, their designs, that is like actually unacceptable.
Yeah.
It's one thing if you want to be an idiot and do something on Instagram or whatever, like,
yeah,
like you're an idiot, but it's another thing to be like, I know, let's call a slave the slave sandal.
Yeah
Like, in what world is that not wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm not really high on the scale of like when people will say cultural appropriation or what, or what's offensive.
You don't normally,
I have
like
quite a good tolerance for it.
Yeah.
But in no way can you call something like, in no world is slave a positive term.
Well, I think that
we're
goes
all ashamed for any, like, or should be ashamed for any part that anyone has ever had in slavery.
Yeah. I think when you say in what world do they live in, I think it's obvious that the world they live in, they think it's okay.
Yeah.
And they're almost like, this is fine. All you lot are soft.
Mm.
Get off our dicks and let us, you know.
There's not an excuse of like, we're British and, you know, maybe we're more forward thinking. Europe.
Italy has an issue with the quite racist over there.
But like, I don't think that's enough of, it's not like enough of an issue.
Yeah.
Enough of an excuse. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we're all first world countries with first world
with
thinking.
The internet.
Yeah. And like,
with the internet where you can like Google some shit and like you are exposed to other cultures, other people, other ways of life, history as well. Mm. And it's anyway.
And then that leads us on to Balenciaga, which I feel like you are better at explaining.
Am I?
I mean,
I'll give a brief overview, and I feel like I will not explain it correctly. But recently there was a lot of like fervor over Balenciaga and the creative director for a series of promotional images on the website and on their social media platform that I think in isolation, you might not jump to, this is dodgy, but definitely when I kind of got the full recap, I thought, this smells fishy. it was. So the creative director has been accused of kind of promoting indecent images of children and promoting the imagery and scenarios that are often enjoyed by those sorts of people. You know, it just seems like inappropriate contexts to have children in, and it raises the question of is this guy in support of this? Is this sneaky imagery like a dog whistle, you know, to people who are that way inclined?
Yeah, I know.
I feel sorry for dogs. That phrase has really been corrupted. So there was a kind of promotional imagery of kids with teddy bears, and these teddy bears had like kind of leather straps and leather straps all around the teddy bear. Yeah. And by itself, you could think maybe it's a punk teddy bear, like leather boots and things like that. But, you know, there was one image that I saw of a kid lying on a sofa, kind of like blank look, not really like happy or like, oh, I'm jumping on the sofa, but just lying there. And on the table had like half drank like alcoholic drinks and like, I think it was like cigarettes and stuff. Almost as if like the day after a party where like everyone's like their drinks everywhere and it's a bit messy. And the kid just like lying on the sofa. And very often that could be taken as like kind of like date rape, you know, like drugging people and abusing people whilst they're unconscious. And then lastly, there was an image on their website of kind of messy desk, papers and things. And there was a piece of legislature which was talking about indecent images of children and how that relates to law. And
citing a legal case about child pornography.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think in the background there was... I think there was someone who, I don't know if it was like a certificate or something like that, which named someone who was part of the, like the law surrounding it. So it was deliberate in the sense that the inclusion of children, the idea of date rape, the idea of like indecent images and all of that in a series of images, when you put it together, what is the relevance of this in fashion? What is the relevance of this in clothing?
And there were no adults any of this.
Exactly.
And if this is a child's campaign, not the right way to go about it.
It wasn't advertising the children's collection because you would have like...
But also if it was, it was inappropriate, like it would be an inappropriate choice.
I know.
So it just... It was one of those situations of like, who thought this was a good idea? And like,
I think you could do this by accident.
You can only assume it was them trying to be edgy and like push it. Like
on the best case scenario.
You can only assume that they totally were like, let's teeter on the edge here. Like, ooh, and kind of like, or maybe we're trying to be political in some way, but that got like you, because otherwise who thinks this is a good idea?
I think I am a little bit cynical in it. Cynical, is that the right word? I don't know if that's the right
word. Believe them. You're not going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
I'm not going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I think that it's quite difficult. You'd have to go out of your way to put these sorts of things in these images, especially when it's like, it's not a children's charity. It's not a thing that deals with like the law or children's rights or anything like that. It's Balenciaga that, as you said, in the best case scenario, they are known for trying to be controversial, yeah, just for no reason. And I think that, yeah, whether it's, you know, when they say like the intent is less important than the impact.
Yeah.
I think it was like whatever they were trying to pull off here, it was not a good look. It is not a good look. And
but yeah, the issue also is for something like this, for an ad campaign, this would be storyboarded. Every image would have sort of had a sketch and a real detail. It doesn't happen by accident. So it's more that along the way, through all the eyes that would have seen it, this is the thing, like with the slave sand or whatever, it's like, who didn't speak out?
Yeah.
Like, or who
was
like,
silenced?
But like, it's premeditated.
Yeah.
And so it's like, that's, yeah, I find that the really tricky thing. I think, as far as I'm aware, Balenciaga likes to push it, but this is kind of the worst it's pushed it.
Yeah, it has.
Like, and so I think it's salvageable, all of that stuff. Like, I'm sure they'll probably be doing something for children's charity right now, you know, like,
yeah, yeah.
It's that classic thing of like, you make a faux pas against, like, wasn't it that KSI recently said like a...
something about the Muslim community?
Yeah, he like said a racial slur that was offensive to the Muslim community. Then he's like focusing on like,
it was like, let me visit a mosque.
During Ramadan was like visiting mosques and probably like went and educated himself or like donated to a Muslim charity.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I always find that really like, it's just like, it's fate.
Yes. Yeah,
and so I'm sure that Balenciaga are doing their damage control around that with children's charities and all the rest of it.
Do you think that it is salvageable? Because for me, I think that there's certain things the fashion industry allows and lets slide. I think racism is something that
clearly
they let slide all the time. I think there are other things as well. I think that when it comes to children, they're less forgiving.
Yeah.
I think there was a massive backlash when all of this Balenciaga scandal came out.
It was huge. People were like burning their stuff from there.
Yeah. I personally think it would take them to get rid of their creative director, let things lay low a bit, and come out with a new vision, a new creative director, a new whatever, and distance themselves from that phase. Because Balenciaga is a brand that's been around for many, many, many years. And the Balenciaga we see today is nothing like the Balenciaga of like yesteryear, you know? And so the brand itself, I don't believe, is this.
And also, like, it is a very forward-thinking brand. It has been, like, the birth of a lot of, like, the athleisure movement we have now.
Mm-hmm.
Those shoes that they did, like, the sock shoes, were quite modern and forward-thinking and still would be, like, super relevant in this sort of, like, athleisure world. They logoed loads of just like, you know, I know everyone puts a logo on stuff, but I feel like they really were like, I'm just going to put a hoodie.
They really did see like, how far can we push fashion and the idea of fashion? Yeah.
And I think that they were kind of like, they're one of the brands that sort of does a mixture of like the high end stuff, but also then like reaching the masses with Logo Mania with a t-shirt or a hoodie and all of that kind of a thing. I think they'll recover. I think they just need to lay low and sort of they'll have to have like a bit of a winning moment, like a champion moment that will like get them back up. Like, for instance, I don't think Kanye is dead, but I don't, because I think he's got the will. Yes. And you know what he's done? He's kind of laying low.
Yeah.
He's just like, he's going to bide his time. And I know he lost. Oh, actually, we should have probably spoke about him today. I think he'll have his resurgence. Maybe not in the same way that, like, not to the same success, but I think he'll have his resurgence. But so my scale of those three examples that we've got.
Yeah.
Is, I think Balenciaga is like a one-off offense that I'm aware of.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's like a one-time offense where they just, someone, like a few people, whoever like signed off on various parts of it, fucked up.
Yeah.
And they took accountability for it. They've apologized. Like, they've faced, I think, their backlash.
Okay.
I don't think D&G, that I'm aware of, have like that sort of notoriety for this behavior. Like, I was actually shocked and appalled when we researched for this at how bad it was. I knew there were like a few things.
Yeah, it's been going on for a while.
Like, that dated back over 10 years ago.
Mm.
Like, that's pretty shocking that that is allowed and acceptable. And also, all the while, we're doing like those fun fashion shows, right, with loads of influencers, which was like super forward thinking. They were one of the first companies to do that, but I don't know, that doesn't, it doesn't cover it up. And I think an underlying tone of racism or whatever it might be is just super inappropriate.
I think the difference is, for me, I think the Balenciaga
that would put me off wanting to buy ever anything from D&G.
That makes sense. I get what you mean.
It's over like, Balenciaga.
Yeah, they have no interest of correcting.
Yeah.
They don't see the problems that they've caused or anything. Whereas Balenciaga, intentional or not, at least has the wherewithal to be like, bad move.
Mm.
And as you said, I don't know of any controversy similar to this that Balenciaga's got caught up in. I could be wrong, so please correct me. And Carl, he was just making these remarks throughout, and he was just allowed to slide because he was incredibly powerful, incredibly successful. And even after death, we get to enjoy this amnesia when it comes to Karl Lagerfeld and continue to support him and think he was like incredible.
Yeah.
And it goes to that, back to that age old question of like, can we separate the man from the art?
Which I guess you somewhat can, because also, so if it's like, for me, I'm a Chanel admirer.
Mm.
He's following a brief somewhat, you know?
Yeah.
He's got a, like, whether he created that brief ultimately or whatever, but he is designing for a brand. He is not designing for himself. He is kind of designing for a Chanel lady. Does that mean I'm never going to own a Chanel design he's made? Absolutely.
No.
Not going to be an issue. It would maybe prevent me buying his own label. But also, again, like, if we all had to be held accountable, like, you often see it. So there was a recent case where a young cricketer joined the England team and his Twitter gets ransacked.
Yeah.
And he said a few inappropriate comments back when he was like 20.
Mm-hmm.
Or when, like, the birth of, like, Twitter and the internet, and just hasn't had, like, the foresight to delete that or whatever. Because, like, it's just old history, and then I think it's now been, like, a thing where everyone, like, has a real diligent check.
Mm.
But he kind of grew up, I guess, in a time, or was in a time where he didn't know, maybe,
that this would be
that an these
issue.
Things last as well, the ramifications, internet, all of that kind of a thing. But also, I ultimately think he stands by everything he said. Like, I do think he did dislike fat people.
Carl,
yeah. I think he'd be like, well, I do.
Yeah,
it's unhealthy.
Yeah.
You know?
I think he had a lot of disdain for a lot of people for no reason. He was probably like a really miserable guy. Mm. And that was the vibe that I got from him. Like,
I don't know why. I really feel like he had a tough childhood.
I think
could
he
be
did.
This up.
I think he did, but still.
I don't know. If obviously it doesn't justify it. But yeah.
I mean, he's been alive for a really long time. So, like, I can imagine he had, you know. And as you said, grew up in a different time as well, but still. Anyway, why do you think it is that we still continue to celebrate Carl?
Because I think his reputation precedes him.
Mm.
That is a Taylor Swift lyric for anyone who
is, it?
Is in the know. But that's, reputation precedes me.
But also that's a phrase.
I know. But,
oh, I just wanted to know that, like, Taylor didn't
invent. No, I know. But yeah, I think his reputation precedes him. I think that, and you can't deny what he's done. I think it's a really tricky one that, do I think what he, I think the most harmful thing there was the model situation. I think he's allowed to have extreme political views.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in the assumption that Carl was a gay man. Whether he admitted that. So him not advocating for himself is just stupid, in my opinion. Mm. So, like, that's maybe him trying to, like, hide. But also, like, that's just stupid.
Mm.
The fat thing, again, like, who knows if he got raised in a certain way, like... I think often body image can be in the way that you're raised. You see certain people where, like, their parents imprinted on them, don't eat too much, don't do this. Like, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. you want to look slim.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if that's just something that he got raised believing.
Mm.
But I think when it comes to that, like, sexual misconduct thing, that's harmful.
Mm.
But again, I don't know the full ins and outs of it, but.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think? Why do we celebrate Carl the man?
I think you're just right in that he was just, he was a...
I mean, how long was he in, like, fashion for? Like, how old was he when he died?
I can't even remember.
But he must have been in fashion for at least 50 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And was a creative director really young. So he was at the top of fashion for a very long time.
Yeah, but not when Chanel was nearly as big as it is today. I think that, in general, controversy, I think he's of an era of, like, people who were in the fashion industry were known for being elitist and snobby, and that was almost, like, fashionable.
Yeah.
And it kind of made you look chicer. And more aristocratic if you held these really antiquated views and believed that, you know, I'm just saying these things
because I have a standard
to uphold, you know?
Yeah.
So I think there's that, and that's why people just accepted it.
I bet he didn't grow up in a wealthy family, and it's quite aristocratic views that he upholds. They're quite elitist, posh views somewhat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it could be, like, a pretense or, like, a projection of, like, I am this
figure. Yeah, it definitely could be. And then I just think that we all have a short attention spans, and there's lots of younger people, as time goes on, they're just not aware of what has been done and said in the past.
But also I think we all have a selective memory when it comes to it. Like, consumerism is real. I think we, like, that's why I think Balenciaga, like, selective memory will mean Balenciaga recovers. Like, no one in 5 years is going to be like, you can't buy that. Do you remember?
Mm.
Like, that campaign, like, no, it's not that deep.
We're going to forget.
And also, we live in a really fast paced world. There is always going to be something else, you know?
Exactly.
Someone else is going to have a shitstorm.
Yeah.
Soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, let us know what you think about this topic and, in general, really controversial figures in fashion. Do you ever see that they will be completely boycotted? What's your views on what you've heard about their viewpoints and what they've said in the past and what they've done in the past? But yeah, if you like this episode, there's many more on all the podcast listening players, be on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. You can send us an email with your suggestions on topics, and we'll see you next week.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.